So many people are affected by constipation and incontinence, but did you know that it could be caused by weak pelvic muscles? We're going to learn about it today with Dr. Michael Dussault, a urogynecologist at the Florida Institute for Pelvic Health and Incontinence. This is Helmet of Health, the podcast from Capital Regional Medical Center. I'm Prakash Chandran. So, Dr. Dussault, let's get into it. What exactly is the connection between the pelvic floor and conditions like constipation and incontinence?
Well, the pelvic floor happens to be an interesting place, Prakash, because the pelvic floor muscles have very, very specific connection with nerves and the brain, which allow the pelvis to be very flexible and useful in normal, day-to-day life. When those neuromuscular, that is, nerve-to-muscle connections are either made abnormal or damaged, then the pelvic floor behaves very erratically. And you can see mainly urinary incontinence behind that. We call that urgency or urge incontinence, is related to this neuromuscular problem. Constipation, on the other hand, has to do with a very much more complicated set of circumstances, indirectly related to pelvic floor disease, but much more to do with, say, neuromuscular function.
Okay, so let's get into the details of what causes that constipation. If it's not the pelvic floor muscles, what is it?
Well, there's a combination of circumstances. Normal passage of stool relies on the amount of water content in the large bowel. The function of the large bowel is to take water back into the body to conserve it as you float foodstuff, et cetera, downstream. Okay, so by the time it gets to the large bowel, you start to take water back. If you don't take enough water back, you'll wind up with a very hard stool, and then that by itself promotes constipation. Getting down into the pelvis, there are three sets of nervous inputs to the lower bowel. The one is the intrinsic system, which is a feedback system that allows the bowel to fill and expand so that, you know, you're not having to constantly flow out solid waste. And there's a second mechanism that acts to close the anal sphincter, which is the last form of defense, if you will. And the internal sphincter has input from what's called the autonomic system, which gives you your fight or flight response or relaxation response. So all of us have had the experience of having, we have a test tomorrow in school, and we're a little nervous about that, so we either get diarrhea or constipation because of the autonomic system. When we're not taking up enough water back, which is above the pelvic floor, then we are not having enough liquid stool in order to make for a normal bowel movement. Ironically, when you have that much constipation starting at the top, it directly affects the pelvic floor by creating a large column of very, very hard stool, which now becomes forced out by muscle reflex out of the body, and you get fecal incontinence from this.
Okay, so it seems like when there's a buildup of that fecal matter because of your constipation, it can start causing issues in the pelvic floor. And I'm curious about what the general term or diagnosis for that is called. Is that called pelvic floor dysfunction?
Well, that's part of it. You know, you start with constipation, and then you can say it's affecting pelvic floor function, or primary pelvic floor dysfunction by itself is sort of an adjunct to constipation.
Okay, got it. So if you are experiencing constipation specifically, what are some of the treatment options that are available?
Well, speaking specifically to constipation, the first thing you would do is take a good history and a physical examination and determine in the history where the patient experience is. How often does this happen? Is this a constant situation where this patient will require medications, et cetera? What is the diet of the patient like? Is she taking enough fiber and water or any at all? That kind of thing. You'd be surprised how many people have diets which lend themselves to constipation, just complete starch diets, that kind of thing. Second step would be, you know, in the physical examination to see whether there were, in fact, things like abnormalities like rectocele, where part of the pelvic floor is blown out, and now one is filling a large space with stool, which gets drier and drier and constipates somewhat. Stuff like that.
Okay. And I always like to talk about prevention to wrap up. Is there anything that people can do to minimize the severity of some of the pelvic floor stuff we're talking about today?
Sure. I think that probably a third of disease can be easily thwarted by diet and exercise. I know that sounds really cliche, but it really does matter. Dietary-wise, if your diet is, you know, reasonable in fiber and water and low in fat, you're going to do better than if it is otherwise. Exercise is good for the entire body and will make for a stronger pelvic floor in most people.
All right, Dr. Dussault, really appreciate your time today. That's Dr. Michael Dussault, a urogynecologist at the Florida Institute for Pelvic Health and Incontinence. Thanks for checking out this episode of Helmet of Health. Head to capitalregionalph.com to get connected with the provider. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. Thanks, and we'll talk next time.